Hello and welcome to the J Train Podcast. It's your friendly host, Jared Fried, with another episode. Today, I have two great guests joining me. And it's comedian Caitlin Cook, and we have an interview with Jason Tardick, formerly of The Bachelor. He's got a new book out. We talk about situationships and what to do when your boyfriend has an annoying friend, and a little bit about money, because that's what Jason's book is all about. Essential financial questions to discuss with your partner. I love this. Finances are tough to talk about, and I think Jason gives us a nice little roadmap, and, you know, we talk about his relationship, whether he felt he made mistakes in his past relationships with money and talking about finances with partners. It's a fun conversation. Make sure to listen to the rest of this episode on Patreon. It's a great solo episode where I talk about restaurants. There are member-only restaurants coming, and they're on the rise, and, I just get a little bit in my feels about what that means for, you know, the type of people that go to restaurants, who gets, you know, beneficial treatment, who doesn't, where we're going societally. Is that a word? Okay, I don't know. It's a great episode. But this is all to say, I want to give you a quick heads up. The audio on this one, bit different. We are in a new studio. I know, I want to thank you for hanging with me and going through this journey, but we're trying to make a studio show that's a great podcast first and something you could watch on YouTube if that's what you want to do. And in that process, we are tinkering. And today's audio might sound a little different, a little off. I want you to go and listen and enjoy. I hope that you enjoy it. I hope that it doesn't get in the way of your listening experience, because that is important to me. But we wanted to make sure that you knew and that Feather Nation was, you know, warned before getting in. And if it's something that, you know, you can't do this week, we hope you join us back next week or go back through the catalog and listen to the episodes you haven't gotten to yet. So I want you to enjoy today's episode. Let us know in the comments. Comment on, you know, YouTube or on the Apple podcast app or on, you know, Spotify, wherever you listen, throw us a comment. Let us know what you're thinking, how you feel. I want you to enjoy today's episode, though, because it's really fun. And Caitlin Cook, who has an amazing live show that I want you all to enjoy and go see, is on, and she's fantastic. So enjoy today's episode. Boom.
Welcome to the new J Train Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the J Train Podcast. This is J Train, Jared Fried, coming to you live from Feather Nation Studios. We're here every Monday with your emails, your stories, your questions, your Am I Crazy Dogs. Listen, if you hear a segment here on the podcast that you want to be involved in, just title your email with the segment and then right away. So jtrainpodcast@gmail.com. That's jtrainpodcast@gmail.com. Today we're going to do a mailbag, a couple mailbag questions. We're going to talk to Jason Tardick about his new book that's about relationships and money. And then in the Patreon, we're going to do some restaurant talk. I read a great article in The New Yorker about members-only restaurants. We will link to it in the description of this episode. But I'm very excited about today's co-host and guest. She has a off-Broadway bathroom graffiti show in New York City. It's coming back.
Coming back.
Yeah. It was so well-received. It's so beloved. They're bringing it back. Caitlin Cook, thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having me. It's good to be back.
How has the off-Broadway show gone? I mean, it's coming back, so we're excited.
Yeah.
It's about, you basically took, and your videos, they go viral like crazy because the premise is great.
Well, yeah. I mean, I feel like everyone's seen something written in the bathroom and thought, who wrote that? What's their story?
Right.
And so the show is about those stories, and I take all the lyrics are from bathroom graffiti that I've been photographing.
So you basically, now you're taking, and we talked about it before, but you're taking a line from the graffiti in the bathroom and creating your own story from it?
Yeah, so I sort of have been photographing bathroom graffiti for like 10 years. I started grouping them into songs. So there's a song that's like men's versus women's stalls. Mm-hmm. There's a song that's like people responding to each other. There's about 8 or 9 songs in the show. And then there's a toilet on stage, and I treat the audience like we are women bonding in a bathroom, though anyone is welcome in the audience. And it's sort of about why people feel that they can be confessional or vulnerable when they feel anonymous, when they're in bathrooms, when they're around other people. So there's a lot of like crowd work in the show. I reveal some personal things. I get the audience to reveal some personal things. It's very fun.
Well, I guess the idea of being in a place where you're doing something very personal, it opens it up to, like, I guess I can talk to these people. Everyone, you know, there's the book. Everyone poops. Isn't that a children's book? Everybody poops. Yeah. So, like, that is, you. There's a commonality. There's no socioeconomic divide. You're just in the bathroom.
You're just in the bathroom. And it's like, sometimes you're asking a woman for toilet paper or a tampon, or you're doing drugs, or you're fucking, or you're borrowing each other's lipstick, or someone is crying and you're comforting them.
I think this is more a female thing.
It definitely is.
And because, like, I'm going in, getting out. There's no chit chat. I also generally don't need something from someone else. There's no community in the men's bathroom.
Yes, there's a lot of community in the women's bathroom.
It's actually every man for himself now that I think about it. Like, I go in there and I'm like, someone's in my way. Get the fuck out of the way. I gotta pee.
Yep,
not like, okay, they're going through something. And I think probably that's why women there's more crying in the bathroom.
There's more crying. There's girls' trips to the bathroom together.
Right, to chit-chat. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because, and also there's the... You know, hey, we're going to go in the bathroom, us ladies.
Yeah.
You're allowed to do that.
Yeah.
If I was like, hey, us dudes are going to go in the bathroom, you'd be like,
a little weird.
What drugs are you doing together? Yeah. What's going on? Yeah. What are you talking about?
Yep.
I could understand, like, there's like, we're going to apply makeup. We're going to be, it's our time of the month.
Yes.
You know, there are things that we know that I would say that most men know not to ask about.
Yeah.
You know, so you do get a little bit of a, you know, go ahead, whatever you do.
Totally.
You know, I think I would be questioned a little bit more, or more likely to be questioned.
Yeah. So this show is sort of like, I guess, men's opportunity to come see what it's like in a women's bathroom, because it's a lot of like asking the audience about their deepest, darkest secrets and sharing confessional bathroom graffiti and getting people to tell their stories. And I tell my story. And
what a fun show. What a cool way to see New York.
Yeah.
It's what theater are you at?
I'm back at Soho Playhouse.
Soho Playhouse. So you're like in a cool section of town.
Yeah.
It's a place like, you know, and I said this last time you were on, like you're living in New York and you're not doing New York stuff.
Yeah.
Probably, you know, you're probably doing the same thing you do in Ohio or in LA or or in Florida or wherever town, but you came to New York, the home of cool, the home of scenes. Mm-hmm. Every scene is here. There's a magician scene, there's a comedian scene, there's a music scene, there's a lawyer scene, there's a finance scene. Every scene exists. And that's the thing I noticed when I first did comedy. I remember I was like leaving my job to be a comedian, and all of a sudden, like, there's this whole world happening on a Tuesday night?
Yeah.
What?
It's crazy. It's so crazy. And it's super fun to, like, create this little world. Like, I think a lot of people move to New York and they're like, I'll see a musical. And then they realize how expensive that is to do on a regular basis. And so they never... And who likes to go to Midtown? I mean, we're in Midtown right now. It's probably in the studio. But to be on the streets of Midtown?
No, you want
to
be in Soho. You want to be in a cool neighborhood, near a cool restaurant. Again, like, I know the listenership of this podcast, like, they're a lot like me in the sense that, like, you know, maybe you would like to think you'd do the thing, but you're like, where do I even start?
Yeah.
And I'm that way where I go, I want to do cool stuff, but I don't want to, like, tell me it's cool. Just tell me to go.
You know? Like, and I will say, the last time I was on this podcast, I had so many people from your listeners reach out. Because I offered a discount code, which I'll do again. If you DM me ask for a discount code, I'll give you a discount code to the show. You can come, say hi, bring a friend.
So that's the move. Yeah. Caitlin Cook, at Caitlin Cook.
At the Caitlin Cook.
At the Caitlin Cook on social media. DM Caitlin. You're going to be able to go to the show, get a discount code. I mean, again, it's a night. It's an event.
Mm-hmm.
Music. Comedy.
Yeah.
Interaction with the crowd. You're gonna get you're gonna get the whole deal. Mm-hmm. So that's like so much fun. I love it. I want everyone to go get involved with what Caitlin's doing, because I mean, whenever your videos pop up, I'm like happy. It's like it's like a fun
thanks.
It's really fun and it's funny and it's like such a creative way to all, like, I think things are great when they're creative and they're big and relatable. Like, it's both of those things. Mm-hmm. So everyone can relate. Everyone can have fun. So we're going to do a mailbag. Let's get into the mailbag. Jared, want your thoughts. And if you have a question, jtrainpodcast@gmail.com. We also want you to comment on the YouTube. I want you to let us know where you are, how you feel. What do you think of the episode? I like hearing from people, especially because that does help us. It does.
Totally.
You know, it kind of like it kicks up the dirt on social media, so to speak. my current dating, and also agree or disagree, let us know, my current dating situation. Been on 5 dates with this guy. Mm-hmm. Last date, we had an honest conversation about where we're at. He said he's still dating other people. I said I was, but it's naturally dwindled down to him, but continuing to be out there. When you hear that, what are you thinking right away about that conversation?
I think naturally dwindled is an interesting word. Because it's saying that this person is into this guy more and has sort of like let other things drop off because they've gone on 5 dates.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's two people being honest in two very different ways.
Very different ways, yeah.
Like, he's like, I am dating other people. Yeah. That is as cut and dry as it gets.
Totally.
That is also telling you things.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not off the apps. I'm not convinced of this. I'm not concentrating on this. There's a lot of unsaid things.
Yeah, it's like better questions are you looking to date one person in the future? What are you seeking out? Are you just looking to have fun? Do you want to keep dating those?
I think all those answers are harder to give.
Exactly.
You know? And they're hard to ask, but even hard. Like, if someone said, are you looking to date other people? If I'm on the apps, I'm still dating other people. Like, I think that's as honest as you're going to get.
Yeah.
Like, but then when her response, I said I was, to me, if I'm in his position, the person who asked me, are you still dating other, where are your head at? And I say I'm dating other people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, and this is, I know I'm making assumptions, but I wouldn't believe them. When they say, I'm still dating other people too. But it's dwindling down. At that point, you're being honest in a different way to me.
Yeah, they're hoping that you will dwindle down as well.
Right. It does, doesn't it? And that's a tough assumption to make.
Mm-hmm.
And it's easy to defend. You can say, well, don't tell me what I'm doing. Of course I'm out there. Of course they're dwindling down. And it's like, I don't buy it based on the premise of this conversation.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe I'm just like a more upfront, honest person who knows what they want. But I would say something like, I really like you and I'd be interested in doing something more exclusive. But if that's not where you're at, let me know.
That's the thing they're avoiding.
Yeah.
By saying, where are you at first?
Yeah, exactly. It's not saying, here's what I want.
Right.
How does that feel to you? They're saying, where are you?
Direct me.
Yeah.
And then they were directed to same, but different, you know, same, but dwindling.
Yeah.
You know, like, which I just, you know, and it's, I understand where their thought process is.
Totally.
Protection mode.
Yes.
I don't want to hear the negative. I don't want to be disappointed. But this ended up putting you in a position that I think you're more screwed than you were had you gone, my feelings first. How does that make you feel?
Yeah, I agree. Now you're sort of on the back foot, which you could be like, okay, I guess I'll amp up dating other people again.
Right. I mean, it's funny to like your offensive, what you thought was an offensive move became put you in the defensive mode.
Yeah.
He then said he, quote unquote, feels bad. I'm only dating him. He didn't believe her.
Yeah.
The dwindle. No. He didn't even buy that.
Yeah.
He says he feels bad. I'm only dating him and he's still dating others. And I said, I don't. Do your thing and we'll see where it goes. I'm going to tell her right now.
Yeah.
No man would believe that.
Yeah.
You're allowed to feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe it.
Yeah.
I said, what made you want to bring this up? And he said, I just wanted you to know I'm not with you like I am with others. And I said, I'd hope not, but thank you for sharing. Oy, that's a tough one.
Yeah, hold on. I'm not with you like I am with others. It's so vague.
It's so vague, and she took the more positive route.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not with you like I'm with others. The others are my wives. You know, like it could have, because when you say that vaguely, she chose to think, well, you think I'm more special than the others.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which I think I would assume that I would go that direction.
That is the implication, but it's still so vague that you could, you know, that's why he said it that way.
Right.
To be vague.
Right. He said it that way because it's not, doesn't lock him in, but it does make her feel better.
Yeah. Makes her feel a little special.
But it doesn't make his words get used against him later.
Yeah.
Which, this is the game that gets played when you ask for answers instead of giving your own feelings first.
Yep.
And I understand what he's doing. He's trying to be soft. He's kid gloves. This is so with others. And I said, I had hoped not, but thank you for sharing. And we agreed to just keep an open and honest relationship with one another. And I said, all I ask is that you don't lead me on and just stay honest. That was Thursday. I haven't heard from him since.
Oh, no.
Just keep the communication open. Yeah. Yep. Ta-ta.
Yeah. Goodbye.
My mom got remarried this weekend, and he knew that and said nothing all weekend. I texted him an inside joke Saturday night and no response. Thoughts about following up, or is he ghosting? So what are your thoughts, Caitlin Cook?
I think that he's doing like a slow fade. I don't think he's like fully ghosting, but I think he's like, oh, she wanted to have a more serious conversation. I'm not ready for that. I'm dating other people. I got to back off a little bit.
Right.
I got to disappoint her a little bit. Like through my actions of not communicating.
Right. I'm gonna death by a thousand paper cuts.
Yeah.
Is the mode. He's looking to chop her head off one slice at a time.
Why can't people communicate?
Well, and they can't because listen, you have to put people in a position to communicate well. Yeah. I have a thing called the reveal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The reveal is you say how you feel, stay in I terms, and then they will be smoked out. And she actually did the reveal, but in the hardest way possible.
Yeah.
She did the reveal of like, hey, where's your head at?
Yeah.
Which is a reveal in itself. Mm-hmm. That is me saying to you, I like you. I want to know what this is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He then got smoked out because and this is why people don't use the reveal.
Yeah.
Because it's hard. It's hard to hear because he literally goes, I feel bad.
Yeah, I feel bad and I'm dating other people.
Right.
Yeah.
The reveal is to get someone to tell you they feel bad.
Mm-hmm.
It's to get you to I feel bad quicker. Because if you had said nothing at all about your feelings, he's going to assume this is all kosher. We're doing what we're all on the same page.
Yeah.
You revealed you're on chapter 3. He's on chapter 1.
Mm-hmm. So in a way, it's like I'm glad that she spoke up because it's 5 dates. And that is probably about a time that you're like, hey, I'm enjoying spending time with this person. And if she wanted something more, that is about the time that you should either sort of cut and run if it's not going to be more or start to get on the same page.
Yeah. And yeah, this is like, this is a win that doesn't feel like a win.
Yeah.
And, you know, she says, should I follow up or is he ghosting? I don't think it's ghosting in this scenario.
Mm-mm.
Like, I think you have the right. Ghosting is like 2 texts away.
Yeah.
Hey, haven't heard from you. Let's get together this week.
Yeah.
That's like text 1.
Yeah.
If there's no response to that, hey, feeling really let down by your lack of communication, we should talk.
Mm-hmm.
That should get you to talk.
Yeah.
5 dates in where you're asking for it. That's when you've been ghosted.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
I don't think like, when someone goes, am I being ghosted? I'm always like turned off by that whole question. Cause I'm like, you are not a bag in the wind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, am I being ghosted? Why don't you ask them?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like you can ask if you're, hey, I want to see you this week.
Yeah.
And then they either give excuses, which is them talking to you.
Yeah.
And then that turns into, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
You know, it's a tough situation. I understand it. I think it sucks. The reveal reveals all, though.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. It definitely sucks. This happens so much when you're dating over and over and over again. It's like trying to line up on the same page, enjoying time together, figuring out if you want the same things. Like, this is a win.
Right. This is why people in relationships always like sound right, because they're like, it should be easy.
Yeah.
And it's going to be easy for you. Someone's going to look at you and go, and you're not going to even need this conversation.
Oh, yeah.
Like the idea that you needed to say like, hey, they've naturally, like the language use of naturally dwindled down.
Yeah.
The minute you said naturally dwindled down, you should have been like, oh, I guess we're not the same page.
Yeah.
You know, like it's are you seeing anyone?
Me currently? Yeah. Oh, I just got engaged.
You got engaged. Yeah. Congratulations. I'm such a dude.
No.
I never look at the ring finger.
That's okay.
Okay. Congratulations.
Thank you so
How
much.
Did you meet your fiance?
He and I were friends for a couple of years and then writing partners for a long time. You've done our show. It's AJ Holmes.
Okay. This is great.
Yeah.
That's so exciting.
Yeah. So we started writing songs together and sort of like fell in love doing that.
This is like this is every indie rom-com.
Truly. Yeah.
We write songs together. This is about the toilet humor, you know?
He directs my show. He runs all the bathroom slides.
Oh, I'm so happy for
his
you.
Shows. Yeah, it's great. So.
Does the stress of everyday life leave you shedding? Has menopause impacted your hormones and your hairline? When it comes to thinning hair, there are many causes, and Nutrafol's multi-targeted whole-body approach covers all your bases. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist-recommended hair growth supplement, with over 1 million people seeing thicker, stronger, faster-growing hair with less shedding, with results in 3 to 6 months. Purchase online, no prescription or doctor's visits required. Free shipping and automated deliveries ensure you'll never miss a day. My mom loves Nutrafol. My mom is a huge fan. She uses it. She loves it. She's on the subscription now. Her hair at the wedding my brother just had, I got all these comments from listeners being like, your mom's hair looks great. Nutrafol. Yeah. She swears by it. Get started today and find your personalized hair health plan with Nutrafol's Hair Wellness Quiz. Start your hair growth journey today by taking Nutrafol's Hair Wellness Quiz and get your personalized hair health plan today. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping at Nutrafol.com/quiz when you're under promo code FEATHER. That's promo code FEATHER. Take the quiz and get started on reaching your hair wellness goals with Nutrafol today. Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com/quiz, promo code FEATHER. Nutrafol.com/quiz, promo code FEATHER. Men, you missed out on makeup for your blemishes, and they don't have high heels for you to get a better vertical jump. But MeUndies is finally here to give you a little assist with the contoured pouch and ball caddy. The Micromodal sling keeps things separated and lifted, so much so that 9 out of 10 women swear that it'll make you look huge. From all-black classics to fun prints that show off your sense of style, MeUndies has a look for everyone. I love that MeUndies saw underwear and were like, let's do something fun and different. They did it with the designs that they do. They did it with how soft the material they use. And now they're giving you a lift on your balls. That's pretty good. I love them. I wear them. I enjoy them. I love the prints. They're great. Not just undies anymore. They also have joggers, hoodies, onesies, and more. I have the joggers. They're great. So you can be wrapped head to toe in total comfort. Good things come in big packages at MeUndies. Get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/feather. That's MeUndies.com/feather for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in.
So what's been helpful for you when you're like sitting there not sure of what's going on in the person across from you's head?
I figure out what is going on in my head. Like, I think
this is it. This is the thing that's you can't ask someone to lead you when you don't know where you want to go yourself.
Yeah. And like, I think there's so much power in deciding, hey, this is what I want, and I'm going to communicate it to you. And then you can decide, hey, I want those things too, or say no. And I can feel like at least I said what I wanted. And at least you know what page I'm on. I'm not playing games. And like,
it's hard because I get put in the position in my dating life mm-hmm. a good amount of like, what do you want to do? Mm-hmm. And it's like, and I know this, what this guy's doing is right out of my own playbook.
Yeah.
I'm going to say the nicest thing possible. And I'll worry about the hurt somewhere down the line.
Yeah.
I'm going to do hurt on credit, you know, I'll pay it later. I'll pay the price later. And then it turns into like, you know, why is it ghosting? It's like, it's not ghosting.
Yeah.
I'm just like, I don't know how to say these things.
It's hard. I feel like I used to be very much like you and I've definitely gone through the pendulum swing of like being really don't want to hurt anyone at all to I need to be super honest and really upfront, and then finding this happy medium of like, I'm going to communicate the way that like what I my needs should come first, because what you're doing is you're placing that other person's like needs and well-being over your own. You're the ones doing in the anxiety of like, am I going to hurt them? Am I going to say the wrong thing?
Well, and it's like backwards. It's the same thing as like her saying what's going on in your head is the same way it was backwards there. It's backwards to go, oh, I'll put their needs ahead of my own. And no one wants to be with someone that's not being truthful with them. Yeah. So it's like you're putting someone's need above your own. And you're like, I'm doing something I don't want to be doing.
Yeah. And even like, even if this guy really wanted to be with her, it's scary to have been asked the question, where is your head at? Mm-hmm. Without any idea of where she wants things to go. It's scary to be right. the first person to say the thing and be sort of put on the spot.
Yeah. It's so hard. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Keep sending in your mailbag questions. We have another mailbag. Let's do another one. Mm-hmm. JTrain, love all your podcasts and your special. Can't wait to see you in Denver in April. I can't wait to come to Denver. I think I've already been there at this point. Have I been to Denver already? Thank you for coming to the shows in Denver. No? Yeah, this will be the next week.
This is the 15th.
Yeah, so I already have left. Thank you for coming. Yeah, it was a good show. I think it was good. I, 25-year-old female, need advice on what to do about my boyfriend's friend.
No.
You ever dealt with a boyfriend's friend that was just...
Oh, yeah.
What do you... Yeah. Do you remember what you did? Did they stay friends? Was...
I don't want to dictate other people's relationships. And
right.
yet I can sort of express, hey, I don't really vibe with this person. If you're going to hang out with them, I'm not going to be around.
Right. They have been friends since college, 8 years ago. Both almost 30 now. The friend is loud, interrupts people, talks about himself nonstop, dominates every conversation. He constantly brags my boyfriend about expensive things he buys, saying saying things like, check out this new TV I bought for $1,000.
Okay.
Cool TV. Cool. I don't even know who shows off TVs anymore.
It feels like
it's written from 2003. I got this new flat screen. You ever heard of it? But then when he comes over to our place for a party, he won't chip in for food. Takes any beer that didn't get drank home with him.
Oh wow.
Oy. No one likes a braggy cheap guy. Last time, he took a single beer home.
Wow.
The worst part of it all is he burps obnoxiously loud all the time, no matter where we are, and thinks it's funny. My boyfriend complains about him, but keeps inviting him to hang out with us anyway. I find myself dreading our friend meetups if I know he'll be there. How do I tell my boyfriend I can't be around his friend without hurting my boyfriend's feelings or sounding crazy? Thank you in advance, burpy bestie. What do you think?
Oh, this is such a simple conversation.
Is it?
Okay. I just feel like it's sitting down with your boyfriend and saying, hey, I'm so glad that you have a long male friendship. Mm-hmm. I think that's really hard for men to make. And I'm glad that you guys like really enjoy hanging out. He and I do not vibe. There are things that just really annoy me and put me off. And I struggle spending time with him. I'm not trying to dictate your friendship. I just, you know, let me know. Give me a heads up if he's going to join for an event and I'll make other plans.
You know, it's interesting. I think it's hard to tell a partner, but you don't want it to be. I think a good partner, friendship, relationship, whatever it may be, is someone who can like see where you're coming from.
Yeah.
And I think that's a relationship I want to be in,
mm-hmm.
is someone that I can go to and go, here's the way I see it. I'm just telling you how I see it.
Yeah.
I'm not, you just can't be bothered.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to notice, but not bothered.
Yeah.
It's kind of a good place to be with this, mm-hmm. because not bothered is like, yeah, that's your friend. It's always going to be your friend.
Yeah.
Good luck with that friendship.
Mm-hmm.
I've noticed these things that make me kind of back out of times with them.
Yeah.
You're going to, if we're both going to be around, that's kind of for you to like figure out your way around.
Yeah.
Not in a hard, I'm never going to make it harder on you. I'm never going to like get mad at you for hanging out with this guy.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you where I stand with this guy.
Exactly. I think it's even worth like, it depends on your partner. But like, I wouldn't even necessarily say the specific things that would bother me because I don't want to get into their head where they're noticing it.
What if they asked you? What if they go, what's your problem?
If they wanted to know, I'd tell them.
Yeah, I would tell them.
But I wouldn't like start listing all of the things.
Right. He does this. Well, that's back to not being bothered.
Like, yeah.
Exactly. No, listen, I'm just letting you know.
Yeah.
That's a tough hang for me.
Yeah.
And well, why? Well, last time he came to the party, he just brought home all the beers. And it just felt like a little insulting after bragging about his $1,000 TV.
Yeah. Or like he burps a lot and that's my own annoyance. That grosses me out. But,
right.
You know.
And your boyfriend might go, let me try and mediate this.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that'd be nice.
Yeah.
If he wants you two to hang out. But it also like he could go, well, I get it. And naturally, things kind of work themselves out with this stuff. Mm-hmm. I had a situation where I just noticed that, like, a friend of mine's, like, wife didn't follow me on social media. Mm-hmm. And I saw that and I go, that's weird. Because the friend, like, posts my stuff all the time.
Interesting. Okay.
So yeah. I'm like, weird.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I guess they're just like, maybe they don't use social media. Like, I tried doing the, mm-hmm. Jared, you're taking this way too seriously. Yeah. You're taking the, you're being a narcissist. Mm-hmm. And I go, oh, but notice, not bother. Yeah. Just notice.
Yeah.
And then the wife was at, like, an event, mm-hmm. that I invited them to. Mm-hmm. And she, like, freaked out at seeing another comedian.
Interesting.
And I was like, okay. So they like comedy.
Yeah.
They must have, like, a real thing with me.
I don't know. Did you find...
So then I didn't really press any further, but, like, it's weird to me, mm-hmm. that you're, like, we are in this game of putting things out there direct to consumer. You're coming on this show. We want people to go to your off-Broadway show. Mm-hmm. And then... if I'm putting it out there, someone close to me being like, nah.
Yeah.
It's a little bizarre. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, and I let the friend know a little bit. I was just like, you know, I'm just letting you know I've noticed.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to start anything, but like.
Did he say anything?
And they were like, no, I can see why that's weird.
Okay.
You know, I can see why that's bizarre. Maybe, and nothing was said, but that mm-hmm. was just what it was. And I was like, you know, and now it's like, okay. Things are going to naturally take its course.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to be, like, inviting them to events. I don't want to bother them.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I'm not going to go that way. Like, again, the naturalness of it all, like, mm-hmm. unless the friend, you know, let's get you two in a room. And I'm like, I don't know. I'm just being myself.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm not their taste, I can't really do anything about that. You know?
Totally. It's so hard to know. What the truth is there, because there's not
it's somewhere in the middle
clues. Yeah,
it's between I don't care and I care a lot.
Yeah,
I don't think it's zero.
Yeah,
you know, and that's me being sensitive. That's me noticing. I think as comedians we are totally sensitive to everything and notice everything. I don't think any of us are, you know, immune to that. But mm-hmm. it is, you know, for this person, you know, the person writing in, they're sensitive. Mm-hmm. They've noticed that you got a friend that they're like, ugh.
Yeah.
And it's like,
yeah, it's like, honestly, this situation is like a little bit better than, you know, when your friend starts dating someone that you can't stand.
Mm.
And then you sort of have to distance yourself from your own friend.
Right. Because that's, you know, I guess that the would you rather of it all mm-hmm. is, would you rather that you have a horrible boyfriend mm-hmm. or a horrible friend? And
yeah.
I think a horrible friend
is better.
Way better.
Yeah.
Horrible boyfriend, because that is them. To me, horrible significant other is like it's a show of a cry for help.
Yeah. And you don't know how much to say or how, and you don't want to spend time with them as a couple. And it just makes things super weird. If your partner has a friend that you don't vibe with, like, that's fine. You don't have to spend time with them.
Right.
Your partner can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And hey, why aren't you spending time with my friend? He's burping.
Yeah.
He's taking beers. He never chips in.
He always interrupts me.
Always interrupts me. And he's a little bit of a bragger.
Yeah.
And that now you have the, there's your answer.
Totally.
Oh, you really think that? Okay, maybe I'm wrong. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you how I feel about the person.
Yeah.
And that could get into the land of, you know, maybe your boyfriend goes, well, I love them so much. And if you won't be friends with then now it's a relationship problem. And that changes things.
Yeah. But
420 is almost here, and Viya can help you celebrate the right way. Viya's hemp products are the Swiss Army knife of wellness. Need to chill out after a long day? Dealing with anxiety or stress? Need to set the mood in the bedroom? There's a gummy for all of those. Viya has developed a unique blend of pleasure-enhancing cannabinoids, libido-strengthening herbs, and a low dose of THC, all into one mind-blowing gummy called High Love. I used it. I think it's great. I think it's fun to do with a partner. I think it's fun to enjoy. You guys pop the gummy, you get in each other's arms, and you go, "Woo! This is a new perspective on being with a partner, and I think it's so much fun to add to the game. Each of Viya's gummies has their own unique strengths with and without THC. So no matter what you're looking for, there's something for you. Viya legally ships in all 50 states with discreet packaging right to your door, no medical card required. If you're 21 and older, check out the link to Viya in the description and use the code JTRAIN to receive 15% off. After purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them, support the show, and tell them we sent you. Celebrate 420 the right way with Viya. Happy holidays! Spring cleaning doesn't just mean getting rid of the old. Get plenty of new with Box of Awesome. It's a box that shows up at your door each month filled with carefully chosen gear from the best small brands around the world. They have tons of different themed boxes, so whether you're into camping, cooking, or cocktails, Box of Awesome has something you'll love. I just love the gift to yourself. I love the idea that something shows up at your door that changes up your week, changes up your mood, makes your night a better night, and it's going to get you into products that maybe you never would have been confident enough to buy. They're going to have different things in there that might become part of your daily life. This is the way you learn. It's with the variability of a Box of Awesome. And they got so much cool stuff. Look at, there's the beach hoodie sweatshirts. They got knives, wallets. Is there wallets in there? They got t-shirts and shoes. Here's what I like. I'm the same way where I look at something, I go, I don't need it. Now, when you sign up for Box of Awesome, they're just going to send it to you. The decision, the guilt is out of your hands. It's not up to you. Look at that beautiful watch. I love the watch. Look at that. The bag, good duffel bag. Just a lot of cool stuff that you're basically signing up to stop feeling guilty about treating yourself. And I think Box of Awesome is a great way to do that. It's free to join. When you become a member, you'll have access to amazing discounts on a ton of different products. 90% of everything that comes in your Box of Awesome is from a small and up-and-coming brand. So you're gonna have something interesting and cool to talk about with your friends. So you'll be getting great stuff and supporting a small business. Get a free mystery gift with your first monthly shipment when you sign up at boxofawesome.com, enter code JTRAIN at checkout. That's boxofawesome.com, code JTRAIN for a free mystery gift with your first monthly shipment. Boxofawesome.com, code JTRAIN. NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is easy. Just select if a player will have more or less of a certain stat, like will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists. I love that DraftKings is coming up with new and fun ways for you to have a night on the couch watching a game that might not be your city or your team and giving you a chance to cheer along. That's what this is all about. I'm a big DraftKings user. I am a big bettor on sports. I love doing it. It's fun. You can put anything from $1 on a game, which is like so great and fun and just adds a little excitement to a Tuesday night. So pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code JTRAIN and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code JTRAIN. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Okay, let's go to our guest today. I'm very excited. We have Jason Tardik. He has a new book called Talk Money to Me. And it's all about the eight essential financial questions to discuss with your partner. Now, you are engaged. Mm-hmm. Have you had financial conversations with your partner? Oh, you guys work together.
Yeah. So we had a really good financial conversation early on about how to divide money when we're doing creative projects together.
Okay.
And
was there anyone else involved, or is it just you two? Was there a mediator? Was there a lawyer?
No.
Okay.
But in the past, we've also like had we started a recording studio during the pandemic that then flooded and we're currently rebuilding. But we had conversations with lawyers and things about drawing up contracts with our other business partners at mm-hmm. the time. But we struck a deal that felt good for both of us and agreed to keep the conversation open if at any point one of us felt resentful about not earning enough from a project or spending too much time on it or whatever. And it's really worked for us. And it also was just a really nice open door conversation. Money is hard to talk about.
It's hard. Yeah. I mean, like, I'm sitting here and I'm like, I don't even know when I've ever talked about it.
Interesting.
You know, I've been in long-term relationship, short-term relationship, mm-hmm. and I've never, you know, even, you know, to me, I've always been in, you know, a lucky enough position where I'm like, I'll pay for dinner and like not have to think about it. Mm-hmm. But like when I lived with my now ex, it was like, I'll take care of this, you take care of that. Mm-hmm. It wasn't really done on the board. And I do think that's a problem. Like I actually look back on it and I wish I was different. Like, because mm-hmm. it wasn't really, it takes something math and makes it emotional when you don't talk
yeah,
about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When it's talked about, even though it's hard to get through, it's math. Mm-hmm. And you're having it out. There's communication happening. Just like you said, like, if you yeah. feel this way, well, let's get the math down so that I know when I can feel this way.
Yeah. It's also interesting because everyone was raised with a different relationship with money. Totally. And you assume that everyone has a similar understanding.
Right.
But it's not the case.
No.
I was raised very sort of like, the value of every penny, every dollar means something. You know, I'm Jewish and I was just raised to like make sure that I had savings and like not spend money on frivolous things. Mm-hmm. Whereas my fiance was raised in a way that was like, you know, if it's raining, pay for the cab. You know, right. sometimes throw money at problems because you don't want to deal with them, and that's right. actually nice to do.
Yeah.
And so we've like reached this kind of happy middle ground. But yeah, we've had a lot of conversations about how much savings we each have, how we want to split finances. I just got approval from the city to turn my apartment into an Airbnb.
Okay.
And our recording studio in his apartment is about to be reconstructed, so we're moving shifting money things around there. But it's a lot of conversations of figuring all
that out. That's a lot of uncomfortable conversations. Mm-hmm. We're gonna have Jason Tardik on. We're gonna talk to him about his new book, Talk Money to Me, and we're gonna get the expert's opinion on how to talk your way through these things
yeah.
in a relationship. Okay, we're very excited to have Jason Tardik with us. Thank you so much for coming on, buddy.
Jared, thank you so much for having me. Every time I even hear your name, let alone see your face, a smile comes out of mine. So it's an honor. It's a privilege.
I'm in the smile business, so that makes me happy. The new book called Talk Money to Me, and it's all about money and relationships, which is like, the perfect, you know, conversation for this podcast. What got you thinking about this money and relationships? What made you want to talk about it? I mean, they say that's the hardest thing to talk about in a relationship.
It's the hardest. I mean, you know, it is, I will say, a nice little pun off Talk Dirty to Me. You know, right. I had to stick that in there. But on a serious note, the relationship side, listen, we know in the United States that when it comes to love, we are struggling. All statistics tell us that we are struggling.
Right.
When it comes to money, we know we are struggling. I mean, if you look at a first-time home buyer right now, they need to make 80% more than they made in 2020. I could bore you with so many of those statistics. Mm-hmm. But individually, those things are hard on them their own. And there are so many self-help books with both of those. Merge the two together, love and money, and you just have a straight catastrophic disaster. Right.
Right? So
we know that.
You've undertook quite a task. You're basically like, you know, forget just love, forget just money. I'm going after the big dog at this point. Like, isn't this, why even try?
Because like, well, to me, it's like I get so energized and like I'm magnetic to, I'm just like naturally like a solver. It's kind of an issue I talk about in therapy all the time. I'm the rescuer. Got to work on that. But the bigger the issue, the more I'm like, I want to be involved.
Right.
And we know that money arguments right now are the second leading reason for divorce behind infidelity. Mm-hmm. But if you connect infidelity, there's also something called financial infidelity, which 43% of all married or cohabitating couples are committing financial infidelity. So infidelity is the number one reason why people get divorced. Then money arguments. But there's a correlation to those who lie about their finances and who commit infidelity. So we know this is just a huge topic that needs to be addressed.
What's an example of financial infidelity?
So financial infidelity is any what is considered like material cheating, manipulation, lying, or deception through money arrangements. So we're not talking about, oh, I snuck in the dessert or I got the steak instead of the chicken. We're talking about straight up manipulation and lies. I'll give you one if you will. I went on Instagram when I was doing this book. I said, guys, give me stories of financial fraud you or someone you love has experienced. Got over 1,000 emails on this. But the one example I put in my book, she went by Jane Doe. She was anonymous. She got married to this guy she fell in love with super quick within a year. He had better income. She had better credit. He convinced her to put the mortgage under her name. He said he would pay her on the side. They end up closing on the house. His name and her name are on the deed. The day they close, she gets a letter from the IRS saying, we own the entirety of your house because your husband has hundreds of thousands of dollars in back taxes. They get divorced, and he or she and her new husband were responsible for paying off all of his IRS funds.
I mean, these,
that's financial infidelity.
These are stories that you feel like only occur on like a Maury or like a divorce court or like a TV type of, you know, situation. Like, and I guess there's different versions of the story you just told. There's, okay, now I'm in a marriage with someone that I thought was going to be this type of person, and now they're this type of person financially, you know, brought you in under the, you know, false terms, so to speak.
Totally. I mean, 100%. And even this is like TV land, and we saw it on TV land. We saw Tinder swindler. Now, I caught up with one of the girls who got swindled by the Tinder swindler. And I was like, I was just curious, like, what happened now? Like, you know, this guy clearly is a scumbag.
Right.
We know that the whole world knows the guy's a fraud. Like, I'm sure things are going well now. How's the celebrity? You're making a couple bucks. No. Those creditors still, even with that backing, held her to pay every single dollar. She had over $250K in credit card debt from him. She had to claim bankruptcy in the country that she was born in and can't live there and is still dealing with it. So what I tell people at home is if the Tinder swindler, who's internationally renowned, still, and those individuals and fraud victims are dealing with it, you too will if you don't do your due diligence.
Right. And that's the, you know, that's the thing. Like, hey, we're together. I love you. I'll pay you on the side. This will never end. You know, our relationship is the swindle, you know, like our love, our hearts, you know, the emotional side is what gets someone to say, oh, I wouldn't do this normally, but for you, I'll do it.
Exactly, which is why interpersonal loans between couples or families and friends, like so low, if I, you know, you lend a friend money, they're the number one loan that never gets repaid back because it's usually tied to emotion and not the due diligence of actually what the book is called, talk money. And the thesis of this whole thing, Jared, is in our school systems, we weren't taught shit about money. We weren't taught anything. So if we're not taught about something, how the hell do we have healthy communication about it? We don't.
Right.
We know that people that actually talk about it, Jared, 73% of married or cohabitating couples, we know that money arguments are a huge issue in the relationship. And of those 73%, over half of them say it leads to decreased intimacy. So it's impacting all areas of our relationship.
Well, I guess I'm assuming it's like, you know, I'm not confident in this subject. I feel embarrassed that I don't know. You know, listen, I used to sell life insurance. You go through people's financial profiles. You ask them all these questions. You couldn't believe what people didn't know about their own finances. When you go to purchase a home, I remember feeling I own an apartment. I felt insecure because you get told, you don't know this. You didn't know the walkthrough. You don't know the punch list. And it's like, yeah, this isn't my job. I needed it explained to me like a toddler because my whole brain goes towards my actual career, you know, so you tend to just brush over things. And then when your partner says, well, how much do you make here? Or, you know, when your partner talks to you about money and you don't even want to get into it because you go, I'm really going to have to reveal myself. This is who I truly am. And you go, well, we'll talk, you know, we'll go to dinner, you know, whatever, and we'll get not have to talk about it. Now you're two years in with someone that you've never even said financial conversation with.
Yeah, it's this weird thing. We just, for some reason, I don't know why. I think it's because just like as kids, we were taught not to talk about it, or we only inherited the relationship our parents had with money, and that became our relationship. But even as like kids, you think about health. Like none of us are doctors here. But right. Like even when I was 6 years old, 8 years old, 10 years old, if something was wrong, I knew how to communicate that to the doctor. I knew typically what was healthy and unhealthy. Still financially, most people in their 30s, 40s, 50s still don't know that stuff. And I think the problem is when people actually get comfortable enough to talk about it, we then weaponize, we then shame, we then blame. And so all we do is we hide our cards. Like we don't show our cards right. in any capacity. And we just know that like all the stats out there, again, you could bore you with all of them. They're all saying the less we talk about it, the more issues happen, the less healthier and wealthier we are. So, like all of them.
So to get personal with you, when I first met you, you were living with your then girlfriend at yes. at her home, and I remember because I was at her home because she has a podcast. I was a guest on the podcast and you were there. I did think, what's the arrangement? How did you bring that up? What was the talk like? Was it, I'll have an apartment and I'll pay for it there and I'll live with you here and I don't have to pay for the mortgage? How did you work that out? Because to me, when I first met you, that to me, the first thing I thought of was the financial arrangement here. What's going on?
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so a few things. One, in the book, in the first two chapters, I open up all about this.
Okay,
this
good.
Is a great teaser.
Go
to
get the book. Talk money to
actually
me.
Buy the book, right?
Jason Tark, you can buy it anywhere books are sold. Go right now. We'll have a link to the Amazon in the bio of this episode. So go get the book right now. Okay.
I love it. So the first two chapters we talk about in detail, but I'll tease a little bit of it. The first two chapters, one of the big things I do is I say, and I say this not to brag or whatever, I say this because it builds credibility to show where I screwed up, right? But I got my MBA in accounting and finance. I'm a business owner. I have been lending money and was an underwriter. Like I knew all about this. And I've been taught money since 16. My grandpa got taken advantage of by a financial advisor, lost a percentage of his wealth. And at 16, he sat me down, showed me every number and said, you need to learn this stuff because if you don't, it's going to have a huge impact on your life. So me, even with all that information, I talk about all the things I did not do before cohabitating. And a lot of the statistics that show huge issues in relationships are cohabitating, right? So when I moved in, we got a dog together. Love the dog. The dog's the best thing that ever happened. But when we think about laws, there's what's crazy, Jared, is there's a lot of lawyers out there that make a whole career mm-hmm. on being attorneys for dogs and battling custody.
It's crazy.
That's a whole thing. It's crazy
Imagine
to think about.
Imagine meeting that person at a party. What do you do? I'm a dog lawyer. I make sure the dog gets proper custody.
Jared, they're everywhere.
Right.
There's more people in court over dogs than other things. But what's according to state law, most state laws, your dog is, what's crazy to think about as an asset, it is. And so when you think about assets, like you have to have ideas or plans for what will happen to those living or non-living assets if and when you do break up. And I write the whole laundry list of all the things that I, not her, all me, what I didn't step into. And so in the book, you'll hear a lot of those. And to your question, the living arrangement from the get-go, that was something that we did not step into. Now, what one system
well,
we
listen,
ended up
I,
stepping
I'll in. Say to you this, I brought it up with my guest before you came on. These are things I moved in with a significant other. I didn't think of those things. We're moving in. You know, don't ruin the party. Come on, we're going to get on the parade float and go to our new apartment and start bumping uglies immediately. Let me carry you over the threshold. You don't think of these things. What is a sentence you would use if you were dating someone new today, pre-moving? What is a sentence you wish you would say the next time this happens?
Before moving in?
Yes. What is a sentence that you wish you would say to a partner before moving in to make sure you live a better financial, honest life together?
I would have 8 questions for them.
Okay, and they're in the book.
8, and there are 8 numbers that I'd want to know. But to your question, I think one of the first things I would say is like a very simple one. I'd say in 3 words, just talk to me about what your relationship is with money. I would want to know, what are they comfortable talking about it?
Right.
What do their annual expenses look like? What's the income look like? How much do they make? Before you move in, having an idea of what you make can actually help put an arrangement in for rent. Every situation's so different, though. That's the problem with finances, that you can't have customized cookie cutter solution, right?
Right.
With how Caitlin and I, we're both.
Well, sorry to interrupt, but how much you make is doesn't even matter that much. It's how much do you spend?
Well, yeah, of course, annual expenses is so massive to your overall financial picture. And so many people that earn a lot spend more than they can. And so many people that don't earn a lot actually do the same. Like it's all over the board, but it's whatever your net cash inflow is after that. One quick thing on spending. People think about retirement. Whatever you spend on an annual basis, multiply that times 25, and that's what you need to retire right now. So if you spend 100K a year, you need 2.5 million to retire if you want to live off it for 30 years. So if you can decrease the amount you spend, then you need less for that huge vacation that you have at the end of your life. But the questions, you can't put solutions in place until you know the numbers, right? So there's a lot of different solutions you could have. Like, Jared, if you and I moved in together and we were a cohabitated couple in a whole nother world and you made two times more than me, maybe we can make a compromise where we say, hey, let's create a joint account for expenses, and when you we'll decide we're going to put $1,000 in and you put in $750, I'll put in $250 based on pro rata for our income. But you can't create these solutions until you have the conversations, and the problem is everyone's situation is different. You move in with someone in New York, that's going to be a whole lot different than moving in with someone, you know, in the burbs of Nashville or Buffalo, right?
And,
so every situation is going to be addressed.
The emotional connection to money gets more emotional when you don't know the numbers. And what you just said, and I think that's a good starting point, how much do you make? And this is how much I make, cards on the table. Now, how are we going to spend? We should spend in relation to what, you know, that's a negotiation point. You go, well, you make too much, twice as much as me, so you're going to put twice as much into this thing that we can all like enjoy and get, you know, get benefits out of because we're living together. Groceries, you know, electric, all those things. But yeah, I guess it doesn't just go there right away. You got to start in hard numbers.
Yeah, you don't. You have the definition of talking money in a healthy way is compromise. Because Jared, let me ask you this: one thing, like in the last month, if I said, "Look at your financials," like you're like, "Shit, I probably shouldn't have spent there," but like I don't regret it. What is one of those things that you probably spend? You tell me.
Oh my god, one thing you overspend it would on? Be Ubers.
Okay,
like Ubers, you know, right? Spending on Lyfts and Ubers. Yeah, absolutely.
Right. So then your significant other might be purses, or it might be shoes. Now, do you put a huge value on purses or shoes, Jared?
No.
No. But if your significant other does, and that's super meaningful to her, you have to learn to compromise to say, hey, if that's your number one priority, I'm here to support it. But maybe down the list, two, three, or four, we have to compromise. And she needs to say, if Uber is like really important to you, the ease of doing it, that's great. But also when we look at the bar tab or restaurant tab, let's compromise. It's about healthy discussion and then compromising, because right now the cost of everything, it's gotten out of control. Mm-hmm. Like most people listening to this, I don't know if they were born before 1981 or not, but in 2022, we experienced the highest inflation rate than anyone has experienced since 1981, 9.1%. I mean, the cost of everything has gotten crazy. Childcare is up 40% in the last 4 years. The cost of home, interest rates are up incredibly. When interest rates were at zero, when inflation was at zero, we could sit back and coast. If we're not stepping into this stuff today, we will get buried.
Right.
Get interest rate debt at over 30%, Jared. I mean, you will be buried for life if you don't take care of this
stuff. Then also, if you're sitting with a partner, you know, when do you, you know, this stuff is creeping down your neck, it's making you sweat, and it's like that affects the relationship.
Oh, totally. Well, what happens is, no matter what your situation is, right, your rent could be next to nothing and you both could be high income earners. But if something means something and it's not being done appropriately, resentment's built. And we even know through therapy, resentment immediately impacts relationship tension and intimacy.
Now,
right?
Okay. So two people meeting in their 20s, what's the first financial conversation they have?
Well, I mean, I think the first thing always is like, you know, don't, everyone's got their own thing. You don't have to have your first conversation be like, yo, what's your net worth, right, bro? Like, it doesn't have to feel like right, that. I think you have to customize it accordingly. And in the book, I talk about 10 questions you could ask to start having fun with money conversations. But I think if you're starting to cohabitate, like, yes, if, I also say this, Jared, you could start to talk about checks if you start having sex. Like, you could start to talk about it. But my big thing, the big warning label is before you move in with someone, there's 8 big questions you have to ask. Those 8 questions I came up with because I used to be the guy mm-hmm. with the big rubber stamp at the bank that said approve or deny, and I would give you the interest rate, and I would tell you what type of risk you were to the bank. So I said, okay, why don't I take those numbers and give them to the people? So the first one is credit score. There's so much with your credit score that you can find, and we talk about spending. The lower your credit score, the more you spend. One quick example, I had a buddy who owns a car dealership. He had someone walk into his dealership. This was the same day. I had to look at the date of the invoices to put in the book. Person buys a $150K G-Wagon, perfect credit score. Interest rate was 2%. Their monthly payment was less than someone that day who walked in with a credit score below 600 buying a $21,000 Toyota Corolla because their interest rate was 28% and their insurance was up the tail. So you will pay more if your credit is not managed. And the whole thing here is net worth and credit worth is not self-worth, but you've got to open your card so you can improve it together.
Well, now, what if you see that and you go, I'm out? Like, what if you like start... You know, they're like, this is my credit. You ask the first question, what's your credit score? And they're like, oh, it's horrific. This is what it is. And you're like, well, I don't want to spend more on a Toyota Camry than I would like to. Do you go separate checks forever? Do you say good luck with that one? Do you break up? What do you say to that person?
Okay, so this is rule number one is what I say is don't blame and don't shame when someone is open and honest. You show your credit score and then I say I'm out. Whoever says I'm out, I would challenge the living shit out of you because I know billionaires with shitty credit scores. Uh-huh. I know people that are going to be that have all their worth tied in equity business, terrible credit scores. A credit score does not define who you are or what you are.
It can be figured out.
It could be worked on. It could be figured out. The example of this case, the one I told you about the person paying more monthly for a Toyota Corolla than the person in the G-Wagon, her specific situation is her parents and family members were using her as a co-signer early on when she had credit. They were using her good credit because they were bad. They didn't pay back and it impacted her. That doesn't define who she is.
Right.
And nor does someone's credit score. It's just about saying, hey, this is an area I'm struggling. Let's get a plan in place to fix it.
Right. And you probably wouldn't have fixed it if you didn't say it out loud. You know, you just
vice versa. Let's play the opposite game. Let's play all the people out there that are sitting back at home that are interested to the person that has all the fancy stuff and all this stuff, but you don't know shit. You are literally, those people could be gaslighting you through assets. So they could be spending and spending and spending just because they have you under this illusion that they have all this money and you just don't have a clue to any of it because more people gaslight through their assets than they gaslight in relationships. And so we know right now household incomes, $250K greater. The number 3 cars driven in those households are Toyotas, Hondas, and Fords. The number 1 car driven by multimillionaires in the United States, Ford F-150. So I think both sides of the equation, we all need to take a step back and say, let's just have these healthy conversations instead of assuming.
So everyone go buy the book. It's called Talk Money to Me. Jason Tardik, we're so pumped you came on. This is all beneficial to people. This is good stuff. This is healthy. This is communication. This is relationships. Go, go, go. Talk money to me. The link is in the bio of this episode. Jason, thank you so much for coming on. This is fantastic.
Jared, you're the man. Thank you so much for having me.
You're the best. Awesome chat with Jason Tardik. Everyone go check out the book. Caitlin Cook, thank you so much for coming on. This is fantastic.
Thank you for having me.
Such a blast. Everyone go check out Caitlin. Off-Broadway show. It is happening right now. Writing on the stall.
Yeah, at Soho Playhouse. And then I'm also touring a bunch throughout the Midwest and the West Coast. And then the UK later this year.
Amazing. And everyone, you can DM Caitlin at the Caitlin Cook to get a discount for tickets in New York. So what a beautiful thing. We're heading to Patreon now. Be sure to watch the rest of this episode. I am going to be talking about an article I read in the New Yorker. I'm so smart. I read the New Yorker. It's a why New York restaurants are going members only. A whole discussion of restaurants and what annoys you and what annoys them about you, the customer. So check out Patreon, patreon.com/JaredFried, and sign up. You can get the end of today's episode. We'll be right back.